From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week, on a special Christmas weekend edition of Washington Watch, Tony Perkins sits down for an inspiring conversation with Dr. Ben Carson. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. This week, we wanted to bring you a positive story as we wrap up a year that did not live up to the expectations we might have had for it. But before we get to Tony's interview with Dr. Ben Carson, I thought we should start with Luke's account of Christ's birth. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Here now is Family Research Council President Tony Perkins as he talks with retired pediatric neurosurgeon and former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson.
Dr. Carson, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be with you, and particularly this time of year, Christmas time, which is so special.
Well, I tell people all the time, this is a great opportunity for you to talk about your faith in Jesus Christ, but you do that all the time anyway. You've been very bold in sharing your faith as a medical professional. I know the first time I heard you was back at the National Prayer Breakfast, but then as you entered into the political arena, you've not hesitated. Why is Jesus Christ so important to you?
Well, because I still remember me as a child. Being called a dummy, having hopeless people all around me. And I remember the journey from there to where I am now and the things that have happened along the way. And I know me, and I know I can't do those things. So it's very easy for me to remember who, in fact, was the one who did those things. And it makes all the difference in the world. But you know, Christmas has always been a really special time for our family because my mother was born on December the 24th. So we always kind of celebrated her birthday and Christmas together. And now that wasn't fair to her because she said she got gypped out of present. But she was just kidding. We had really very fond memories around it, even when we didn't have much money. You know, money and gifts aren't nearly as important as family, the warmth, the singing of songs, and remembering the real reasons for the season, that Jesus Christ came to this earth to save us. And there's not that much that we have to do to take advantage of it. He said, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. The thief on the cross qualified. He wasn't necessarily the best person in the world. Now, I'm not saying that to say that people should just go and do anything they want and claim salvation, because the fact of the matter is, when you develop a relationship with Christ and a relationship with God, it changes who you are. It's very much like, when you get married to somebody that you love, you don't have to go and rehearse the wedding vows each day. You know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And that's the way it is with our relationship with God.
So when you think about Christmas, you talked about this a few moments ago, you grew up not having a whole lot. You've reached the heights of success from a standpoint of human success, described as successful, a successful professional. Of course, I think you're successful because of your walk with Christ and how he's used you. And you've talked about that in the past and how he's guided you, even in surgeries. You said the Lord was with you in that. Is a lot of this material things, the gifts, the all of these other things, are they crowding out the real meaning of Christmas and distracting us from what we should really be focused on?
Well, I think for much of the world that is the case, because when they think Christmas, they think Santa Claus and gifts. And, that's the least of my concerns. Do we buy gifts for the grandchildren? Of course. But we always, when we sit down at the table, we talk about, what are you thankful for? And it really gets the young people to start thinking.
Yeah.
And that's really what we want them to do. The older people, too, because it's very easy to get caught up in the commercialism that exists in our society today and forget about everything else. And what we really need to be happy about is that the Christmas season frequently causes people to say Merry Christmas or at least Happy Holidays and to try to be kind, at least for a little while. And that is so important right now because we have these forces in our society that try to make people think that they're enemies. Right. And that they should hate each other just because they may disagree on a point or two.
And those are great. Those are great openings to carry the conversation even further. Dr. Carson, we're up against a break, but we're going to come back after this break. And I want to talk about, I'm going to go back a little bit. And I want you to share your testimony, how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then you're still working to help people think through what we are facing as a country today and how we bring our faith and founding principles into the conversation. So we're going to talk about that as well when we come back. Dr. Ben Carson, my guest here on this Christmas Eve edition of Washington Watch. We're going to be back with more right after this, so don't go away. Washington Watch is coming back.
All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is what God says about his word, and so it should be a priority for all of us to read it. Begin 2022 by joining Family Research Council on a two-year journey through the Bible. FRC's Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan was created to help you walk in the will of God by knowing him and his word. It's not difficult to read the Bible, but the discipline to read it daily can be a challenge if you're doing it alone. So don't do it alone. You're invited to join FRC in making it a priority to read the Bible daily. When you subscribe to the Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan, you will receive the daily scripture passages and other resources like devotionals and discussion questions that will help you better understand and apply the Bible to your life. Sign up today at frc.org/Bible and let God's Word equip and transform you.
What do abortion, pornography, and human trafficking have in common? They all violate human dignity and worth, treating people as objects to be bought, sold, and discarded. Here at Family Research Council, we believe that every person is made in the image of God and has inherent dignity and worth. FRC's Center for Human Dignity exists to give a voice to the voiceless by providing helpful resources that address abortion, human trafficking, pornography, and more. To learn more, visit frc.org/life.
We often hear that religious liberty is something we must protect, but what is it? Simply put, it is the freedom to choose your religious beliefs and to live according to those beliefs. So, why should people care about protecting religious liberty, both domestically and internationally? At Family Research Council, we believe that fighting for religious liberty is essential because it is an inherent human right that all governments have a responsibility to protect. Unfortunately, not all governments do. Religious persecution is a terrible reality around the world, yet so often the media turns a blind eye while attacks on people of all faiths continue to increase globally. As Christians, we look to Scripture as our authority, and in it, we have a clear calling from God to pray and care for the persecuted. Therefore, we must be advocates for those persecuted for their faith. Learn more about what you can do to help the persecuted by accessing Family Research Council's latest resources on religious liberty at frc.org/religious liberty.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style.
Welcome back to this Christmas Eve edition of Washington Watch. So good to have you with us. Someone was asking, what am I drinking in my stand mug? Well, I'd love to say it's eggnog, but it's not. It's just water. But you can drink anything. And in fact, if you've not yet gotten your stand mug, go to tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. USA made 15-ounce mug. Great for your morning coffee as it reminds you to stand firm in the word. And by the way, let me mention it one more time. Coming up January the 1st, we begin our two-year journey through the Bible. It's our second one, Stand on the Word. And to find out more about how you can be a part of that, sign up for it. Go to frc.org/Bible. Lots of resources and tools for you on this edition of the journey. Chronological read through the Bible. Again, find out more, go to frc.org/Bible. Well, thanks for tuning in. I know a lot of activities tonight as we move toward Christmas Eve, tomorrow being Christmas. But let me say Merry Christmas, and we're certainly not afraid to say that here. We embrace it. And before we went to the break, we were talking with Dr. Ben Carson about the important things of Christmas. And yes, presents are important, buying them for the grandkids, but more importantly, talking, having conversations. And so we were having a conversation. I want to go back to Dr. Carson, to his encounter, that life-changing encounter that clearly has changed the trajectory of his life, and that was his relationship with Jesus Christ. Dr. Carson, thanks so much for being with us this evening.
Absolutely. You know, when I look back over my life, I just have to stop and thank God and praise Him, because there were so many situations that could have sent me on a different trajectory. But, you know, I kind of grew up in the church, knew the Bible stories, could recite the Bible verses. But, you know, I don't think I was really converted until I was 14. And I had a real problem with my temper. And I would get into a fair amount of trouble because of it. But one day, I tried to stab another youngster over a minor argument. And fortunately, he had a large metal belt buckle on under his clothing, and a knife blade struck it and broke. And I was terrified that I was trying to kill somebody. You know, I had turned things around academically. I had been the worst student you could possibly imagine. But my mother made my brother read books. We didn't like it at first, but after a while, I began to really enjoy reading those books. And in the space of a year and a half, I went from the bottom of the class to the top of the class. And I was determined that I was going to become a physician. But I realized on the day of that attempted stabbing that I would never achieve that goal with a temper like that, and that I would end up in jail, reform school, or the grave. And I just fell on my knees and I said, Lord, I can't do it. You're going to have to help me. I cannot succeed on my own because of this temper. And there was a Bible, and I picked it up and opened it to the book of Proverbs. and started reading. And there were all these verses about anger. Like Proverbs 19:19, it says, there's no point getting an angry man out of trouble because he's just going to get right back into it. But there were also a lot of verses about fools, and they all seemed like they were written about me. And I said, you know, that sounds very much like you. And I spent 3 hours in that bathroom reading and praying and contemplating my life. And I came to the conclusion that I was angry so often because I was selfish, because things were always about me. Somebody took my thing. I want this. Me, my, and I. And I said, what if you step outside the circle and let it be somebody else? And I decided that that's what I would do from there, that point forward. And I've never had another angry explosion from that day forward. And it really has changed me. And some people say, you just learn how to control your temper. No, when God fixes the problem, he doesn't just do a paint job. He fixes it from the inside. And it's very, very difficult to make me angry. You just can't do it. I actually am amused when I see people trying to make me angry.
It's kind of funny. It's amazing because, you know, I was just having I was having a conversation with, I think it was my daughter, who is an ER nurse, and she's worked with a number of doctors, and we were discussing you. And I said, well, you know, Dr. Carson has this, he doesn't get rattled. He is just so calm and easygoing. She goes, that's not the way most doctors are. you know, because you're right. I've never seen you rattled or angry. And that is the fact. That's the transformation that takes place through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just a paint job, as you said. It's a transformation that takes place from the inside out.
Absolutely. And then there were so many situations, you know, along the way that told me that God was with me. One night I was on call, and it was a time of a national neurosurgical meeting, so all the attendings were away in Boston, except for the one that was left behind to deal with emergencies. And a young man came in. He was brought in by ambulance, unconscious, having been beaten badly with a baseball bat. And his brain was swelling. His CAT scan showed that he had several hemorrhages, and he was about to herniate. Part of the brain was going to move to a different area, and he would die unless he had a major operation, which I had never done before. And so obviously I called for the attending, because you have to have an attending neurosurgeon. Well, the person who had been left behind, no one could find him. The paging operators, the nurses, no one could locate him. And there was this young man dying. And, you know, it's not permitted for a resident to take someone to the operating room without an attending. So I was left with a terrible dilemma. Should I risk my career and take him to the operating room and do an operation that I'd never done before, but I'd seen it done? Or should I just take the easy way out and say, you know, that's what the rules say? And I prayed to God for guidance. And immediately after that prayer, I felt calm. I felt that I should take him to the operating room. I did. I remembered everything. The operation turned out beautifully. Today, that young man is a child psychologist. But I knew that God was with me at that point. And that's been the case with so many other operations and other endeavors that I've gotten involved in. And even now, you know, that medicine is something in my past. You know, I still depend on the Lord for guidance. You know, we've started the American Cornerstone Institute, looking at the cornerstone principles that made America into a successful country. Our faith, which is so incredibly important. Some people are trying to say that our founders were not men of faith, but all you have to do is go back and look at a lot of their writings, and you can see that that is absolutely not true, particularly George Washington. And that faith teaches us how to relate to our fellow human beings with love, not with hatred, not with cancellation, but with love. And then the whole... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and it's getting back to those foundational truths. Number one, faith. You cannot extract Christianity from America and still have America. And then those founding principles, which is what you're focused on, bringing those back in at the youngest ages. You've actually got tools to help parents, grandparents have those conversations with their children and grandchildren.
We actually have an online teaching program for K through five called Little Patriots. You can get it at littlepatriotslearning.com, free of charge, by the way, because our underwriters have felt that it was so important to make this available to anybody. And it tells the true history of our country and tells what's behind those values and principles that led us from a bunch of ragtag militiamen to the pinnacle of the world in record time. That was not a coincidence. That was because of those principles, liberty, community, life, the things that we held dear, the things that we protected, and the things that we must continue to protect. And it's really, I think, incumbent upon all of us to put a stake in the ground and to be willing to stand up for who we are and what we believe. Like your mug says, stand. You know, if you don't do it, you're not going to have those things for very long.
And we're living at a time, you know, where here it is Christmas Eve, and I do think, you know, some people may scoff at this, but I do think the fact that former President Trump made it an issue, it is a little easier to say Merry Christmas. There was a hostility toward that, and I remember when he announced his candidacy, and he said it's going to be safe to say Merry Christmas in America again, or something to that effect. You know, the media, they scoffed at it. But it was the underlying issue, and it wasn't so much about Christmas as it was about faith in Jesus Christ and the ability to openly share it, live by it. But I think as the space has been made open, as you've said, we need to be very bold about our faith. We need to live it out no matter if we're in education, we're in the medical field, we're in the banking field. Wherever we are, we cannot hide the fact that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because I think that is the most important thing for an individual, but I also Absolutely. Think it's one of the most important things for a country as well.
And that informs the way that you react to other people, even people who aren't necessarily nice. If you're nice to them, as it says in Proverbs 25, heap coals of fire on their head by being nice to them. That's the worst thing you can do for a mean person is to be nice back to them. What a difference, man. I enjoy watching the reactions when people are mean and cruel and you don't reciprocate in kind. And I've seen a lot of people completely change because of that. People that people said were irascible become reasonable people.
So, Dr. Carson, as we're about to wrap up our time here, we've got a few minutes left, as we move into the celebration of Christmas and beyond, what would you encourage believers? And that's primarily, we're on Christian stations all across America, primarily believers, but there's a few that maybe not believers that are listening to the program, watching. What would you encourage them to do, given the state of our nation? I mean, you've left the medical field, and you've been in the public policy realm, previous administration, now your own nonprofit speaking into this realm. What's your diagnosis? What do we need to be doing?
Well, I think it's very important to recognize the times that we're living in. If you read Matthew 24, it talks about the end times, and boy, are we living in a time that's described there quite well right now, including the pestilence. And it says something that should make us all very humble. It says, were the time not cut short, even the very elect would be deceived by the evil that is going on in our world, because it disguises itself, always coming gift wrapped and making it look like this is something good. But how can it be good for us to go back to a time when we tell people that you should evaluate somebody on their external physical characteristics, things that they have no control over, as opposed to the character that they manifest. How can that be a good thing? How can it be a good thing to ignore certain laws and just observe the ones that you want to keep? How does that create, you know, a functional society and a safe society? And I think those of us who just want to think logically, who recognize the gift that was given to us, a nation where we esteem life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we want to keep that. We want to keep that for those who come after us. And the reason we have it now is because there were those who came before us, and they were faithful and courageous people. And they didn't have to do it, but they were thinking about us. And I would say now it's time for us not only think about ourselves, but to think about those who are coming after us, and to think about the entire world. Because before America became a great power, the world was full of despotic leaders who went around trampling everybody that they could. And the world will become that way again if the United States becomes weakened and does not manifest leadership.
Well, that's really kind of going back to what you shared a few moments ago about that transformational point in your life in accepting Jesus Christ, but stepping outside of that circle of me, myself, and I, and looking at others. And I think even as believers, we sometimes tend to live for ourselves, fearful that we might incur the wrath of the world, when in fact that's what we've been called to do, so that others might know the truth. Dr. Carson, we're out of time. Always great to talk with you. I could talk with you forever. So much appreciate you and your stand for truth, and your continuing to be that voice of reason in this process. Thanks so much for being with us.
We're right back at you, all the same things. And we're praying that the Lord keeps you safe, particularly during this new year with the new ventures.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Carson. Merry Christmas.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.